I was told by someone in India, I don't actually remember the number, either 400 or 40, something like that. There are gods, 400 or 40 gods, who are the avatars now in this age, in different areas of the world. So many gods or avatars, promising all salvation to all those who love them. Then I said to them, all the 400 gods taken together will surely bring emancipation to the whole human race. One god was not enough. 400 will be sufficient to lift us all. Cannot say what is the basis of all this.
There were predictions back.
There were predictions back in Egypt, coming forward to Nostradamus, the Oracle of Delphi, Edgar Casey, even Gene Dixon. A prediction from all these different sources, one prediction that was constant throughout, that a second coming or messenger will come before the year 2000. Something which supports this also is that many of the sources of predictions did not go past, not all of them, but many did not go past the year 2000. They ended at the year 1999 or 2000, many of them. But all of the sources, at least that I'm familiar with and that I mentioned, say that a second coming will be prior to the year 2000. Now, from some of these sources, I have read that a messenger was born in 1953 in the Near East, and that he will make himself known in the 1980s. And there have been a variety of predictions as to what will happen between now and the 1980s. From Casey, there were physical geographic upheavals. From Gene Dixon, there were a civil strife in the United States. And these predictions have been coming both in this century and before. Can you comment on this second messenger, on the coming of the messenger?
We'll welcome him with a better world. By that time, you would have created a better world. Speak on that, speak on that. Something very beautiful coming out.
I've heard that the main purpose of an avatar is to show the way, the light, when the past is somewhat disturbed. Now, I've heard that also that the next avatar will come within the next 150 years. Why would an avatar have to come to Earth if transcendental meditation, as you say, will be spread for the next 2,000 years and firmly established?
In case we don't spread it, the avatar will be needed. And if he spread it, he may come to enjoy a better world. We are better off settling our affairs within ourselves. We'll welcome any avatar.
Hi. Just as a pleasant note too, I have heard
that Mayor Baba has spoken, or I mean communicated, that Rishikesh is the spiritual center of the world. And so it sounds pretty good to me.
There is some hope. No. I think we are better off. But it's good to know all these things. Good to know. Always we try to see something good everywhere and then elevate the people who believe in those things. But always we tell them, this is very good, but in order even to be able to love someone whom you have not seen and whom you just, in order to be a man of good faith even, a man of universal love, so that you may love with infinite strength, it is necessary to practice transcendental meditation. To all the lovers of these avatars and gods we say, fine, the avatar is coming, you must be able to overflow in love for them and therefore meditate transcendentally, so that your heart may expand and mind may expand, and with expanded consciousness you may find the goal in your avatar or in your God. This is our approach. Because someone who starts to feel good in some ideology, it will be good to be sympathetic towards it and then tell him, this will be fulfilled through this practice. Always we are sympathetic towards anything that a man says. Even to these, even spiritualists, mediums and all, we tell them how nice you are, what a great sacrifice you are doing for others, and what beautiful messages you are bringing from heavens on earth. And then gradually tell him that if you are a medium, certainly you would like to have higher spirits, as high spirits as possible. And if your level of consciousness rises high, then you will certainly attract much higher spirits. Then he'll say, all right, let me practice something which will give me entry into much higher regions of spirits. Fine. He will start meditation with the expectation of getting entry into higher realms, and the thing will be, soon he will start enjoying himself, will be out of the grip of the spirit. We want to save him, but we can save him by being sympathetic to whatever he is doing. And this is our approach to it. Because we are meditating, we have infinite patience. And with that infinite patience, we can deal with a problem. Instead of catching it directly, we can catch it like that. Indirectly, little bit. Just it needs a little bit of patience. And we can be that flexible, because we have unbounded awareness. We can be very flexible. And we must be friends of all the people, doesn't matter what he believes. Because always, from our sharp intellect, we will be able to dig out some good in what he is doing. And we appreciate that. And then he knows we are not biased against it. Sympathetic. Being sympathetic, we can gradually talk into the weakness of his system. Gradually, but not telling him that here you are weak. Not telling him, just appreciating all the time, emphasizing good points and showing him that it is weak at its basis. transcendental meditation will bring fulfillment to this. It's very, very necessary. Getting time, huh? How the time is passing so quickly. I think I must leave you. And then I hope you won't waste much time in after this between the hall and the bed. It's very necessary. Quietly go and retire and sleep, huh? Jai Gurudev. Jai Guru. Now for drinking. In many cases this has been felt. I ask them, why you drink? What happens? So I'm told they begin to feel uncomfortable, until they have drunk something, they feel uncomfortable here in the throat here. Something begins to do like that. In many alcoholic cases, I said, whenever you feel like that and feel uneasy, instead of drinking and trying to pacify that uneasiness in the throat, you close the eyes and feel it. I made them do in my presence 5-6 times in 1 hour. They start feeling like that and very uneasy. They really feel uneasy, and the uneasiness is here in the throat. And in about 2 minutes, the uneasiness goes away. Maybe after 10 minutes it comes back again. Then again they feel it. In another 2 minutes it goes away. They keep on repeating it like that. So in the beginning it comes many, many times, more frequently. And then after a day it comes less frequently and less frequently. And then they don't feel to drink at all. I mean, they don't feel uneasy without drinking. That's all. This is a very, very simple technique or a trick to get rid of the habit of drinking. Smoking is the same way. They also begin to feel uneasy here. So we ask them to close the eyes and feel that area, physical sensation to be felt. And that's all. A few times felt and then they don't feel the need. Yes? Now. One thing that whatever insomnia, when people start to meditate, they start to sleep better than before. And in 3-4 days, they sleep all right. Now, another thing for these insomnia people, we tell them not to try to sleep. When they lie down in bed, don't try to fall asleep. It's very important. Otherwise, in trying to sleep, there is no way how to sleep. If a sleep comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. Then, instead of trying to sleep, they should lie down, let the mind be on the body. They will feel some sensation here, some sensation here, some sensation here. And feeling the sensation, maybe in 2-3-5 minutes, it just sleep comes. They may feel some lots of thoughts going on in the mind, fine. Feel the whole confusion in the mind. Let the mind be there, feeling the confusion of thoughts in the brain, whatever. They may feel some tightness in the brain, and they just find and feel the tightness. And feeling the tightness, They just fall asleep in 5-10 minutes, quick. It doesn't take long time. Instead of mind empty, engaged nowhere other than strenuous, stressed thoughts, we put the mind on the body and it is relaxing to the body. And once the body gets relaxed, they fall asleep very easily. Even those who are not meditating, you can give them very great relief just by telling them not to try to sleep and remaining in bed, either sideways or on the back, whatever way they feel to lie, or keep on changing the side, doesn't matter. But feel the body, let the mind be on the body. Not in any one part of the body, but a body as a whole, lying, and feeling like that, they'll pick up some sensation here or there. Feel that sensation, and they'll sleep. Same thing they should do when they are awake, yet in bed, but awake. Don't open the eyes, remain eyes closed, lying down. Feel the body. Feeling the body, they'll fall asleep again. Maybe 15 minutes, half an hour, again they sleep. Ask them to feel the body again when they are awake. Like that, they should keep on doing when they are awake in the morning. This will keep on putting them to sleep, and within about half an hour or 1 hour, 2-3 times when they have gone to feeling the body and awake and feeling the body, they'll wake up very fresh. When they wake up fresh, they behave during the day in such a way, very naturally, that they gather less strain. And when the body is less strained during daily activity, then in the evening, the body is less strained. It will sleep better. Those who do not know how to be awake in a nice way, they don't know how to sleep in a nice way. It is the day's activity that is responsible for good sleep or not good sleep. Those who know how to behave during the day, how to be well in the waking state, they are well in the sleeping state. And the only way to be well in the waking state is behave in a way so that we don't accumulate stress and strain. For that, good rest in the morning is the first prerequisite. If the body is fully rested, naturally it will handle things very easily, intelligently, more effectively, and will not gather stress. Meditation, speaking physically, gives deep rest and leaves the body so alert for activity that it does less and accomplishes more and does not gather stress. Otherwise, if the system is not fully rested, without reason the mind starts thinking unnecessary things, completely unnecessary. But in that confused state, it is capable of making a mountain of a particle. Some friend has said that, and this means this, and this means this, and this means, the piles up like a mountain, and then the pressure of that mountain. It's such an idiotic state. And this is just lack of rest, that's all. Lack of rest. So, advising the people not to try to sleep, Because sleep can't be forced, it just comes due to fatigue of the day. And unless the doctors have advised to take tablets, they shouldn't take tablets. If the doctors for certain reason advise tablets, then fine, take it. Otherwise, not by yourself. On holidays, particularly weekends, see, when the mind is weak, if someone is not sleeping, then he gets a fear, oh, I'm not sleeping. And then ask them, if you don't get sleep one day, you can sleep during the day. If you don't sleep in the night, why can't you sleep in the night? Oh, I have to do so much and I'm not sleeping. This itself causes such a strain and psychological upset. So in trying to sleep, they strain and then cannot sleep. So we ask them, the technique of sleeping is, don't try to sleep. Just as the technique of meditation is, don't try to meditate. This trying is a terrible thing. Trying produces stress in the mind unnecessarily. If the body is fatigued, and the body does get general fatigue if we are awake about 12, 16 hours during the day. So, we shouldn't try to get out of activity unless the system wants rest. No trying. These two things, don't try to sleep and feel the body.